The Guardian.
Well, they'll have full control, democratic control over local policing services, and so will replace the current existing roles and responsibilities of the local police authorities. Chief constables will be answerable to them, and they'll have to account to them for the operations they carry out and for the policy and strategy that they follow.
Well, not all areas of the country have directly elected mayors, of course. So what happens in the areas that don't have directly elected mayors?
Indeed, only about 12 cities, London, of course, being the biggest, but others like Hartlepool, notably where Ray Mallon, who was known as Robocop his time for his advocacy of zero-tolerance policing, he didn't have control over policing when he was first elected, but the idea is that these extra powers will encourage more politicians to put themselves forward and to campaign to become directly elected mayors. Now, outside of those 12 existing directly elected mayors' cities, there are 375 local police boards, which are called crime and disorder reduction partnerships, which bring together the police, local authorities, health, probation service, and so on locally. And the chair of each of those partnerships is going to be up for election for each term, along with the other local elected councillors.
What effect will this change have on policing?
Well, the Cabinet, the government hope it will make the police more accountable and the local people will feel more confidence in their local police and will therefore give them more information and reduce crime more by having a single identifiable figure in that respect. It's certainly the case that, on the one hand, that some of the mayoral elections, such as that to Boris Johnson, Ken Livingstone in London, have generated a lot of interest, but unfortunately in some of the others, turnout has been quite low. And the existing police authorities are very wary about this. Indeed, Labour, when David Blunkett was Home Secretary, opposed such a move, saying it was a recipe for racists and rabble-rousers to take over control of local police authorities and dictate to police forces what they should be doing. Indeed, the Association of Police Authorities, I understand, worry that it could open the door to extremists and to single-issue pressure groups who could distort local policing priorities.
Are there any places in the world where this kind of system exists already?
Well, indeed, in parts of America, obviously, you have New York police chiefs directly elected sheriffs, which is a policy which Michael Howard and some of the conservatives still pursue and are interested in doing. And in a sense, the government's move to have directly elected mayors giving them and local policing boards is an attempt to undercut the Tories' populist policy of directly elected sheriffs. The complaint from some people, of course, is that this has led to claims of interference in individual policing operations, of favouritism and incipient corruption in some smaller police forces around the United States.
Another proposal contained in this green paper today, as we understand, concerns police red tape. What are they doing about that?
Well, they've already announced that they're using this green paper to scrap the stop and account form, stop and search, and the form filling by police has been hugely controversial all year. And I understand that they're going to appoint a person who they say is going to be high profile to tackle bureaucracy, a man who I suppose could be dubbed the red tape czar, police red tape czar, whose job it will be to cut down the number of forms that police fill, which are stopping them from pounding the beats and catching those criminals.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's The Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.